Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Of course, we're reading the words of Luke here. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Today I want to preach to us on this subject: when truth is not enough. When truth is not enough. Lord, we thank you for your word and your presence, the moving of your spirit here today. I believe you want to do something incredible in our lives. And God, we open our hearts. I pray that you would minister to us. I pray that you would challenge us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to leave this place, God, not only knowing truth, but living truth, God. Help us to take it to this world. Help us to do what you've called us to do, and we give you the praise and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. When truth is not enough. Thank God for his word. Amen. Thank God for his word. Thank God for truth. Thank God for the saving power of the gospel. The word of God is the standard for everything that we believe and do. Amen. This is why that the spirit of the world hates the word of God. Do away with the Ten Commandments. Do away with the reading of the Word of God in our institutions, because the spirit of the world wishes to do what it's right in its own eyes. And so that's why there is so much confusion in our world, because society has abandoned the one standard of truth, which is the Bible, the Word of God. But I have a little news today. I've come to declare that regardless of how this world chooses to deal with the Word of God, this world may ignore it, they may seek to destroy it, they may seek to erase its principles from modern day living, but regardless of the world's efforts to do away with the Word of God, the Bible still stands. And it's going to stand. The Word of God is still the standard by which everything is measured. Just try to measure up to the standards, the changing standards of this world. Just try to live by its principles, which are built on shifting sand. What's in today is out tomorrow. What used to be cool is now old-fashioned and obsolete. Just take up whatever the latest fad is that's being promoted by the world's top celebrity, and just give it a little time, because whoever has the most followers on Instagram or Twitter, well, that's going to change. And whatever idea and whatever trend is getting the most publicity today, that's going to be forgotten tomorrow. What used to be politically correct is now rejected. And whatever is politically correct today will change again in a few years. The church needs to stop worrying so much about being politically correct, and we need to be biblically correct. Hallelujah. Come on, more than being politically correct, we need to be biblically correct. For as Psalms 119 and 89 declares, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." It does not matter how the tide of this world turns. More important than the uncertainty of prevailing opinions, the one who is going to have the last word is God Almighty through his forever settled word. Isaiah 40 and 8 proclaims, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Jesus said in Matthew 24, 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." John 1 and 1 declares, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word of God was there in the beginning, and the Word of God shall stand forever. Aren't you thankful for the blessed, precious, anointed Word of God? Psalm 119 and 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Psalm 119 and 9, "Wherewithal shall a man, young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Jesus said in Matthew 4 and 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." We're to be a people of the Word. This is to be a church that's built on the Word. The Bible is the standard by which everything else is measured. It is the guide for everything that we believe and do. Nothing else should be so valuable and treasured to us as this Word of God. Hallelujah. But in all of its power, in all of its definite authority, truth in itself is not enough. I present to you today that the Bible is in greater circulation at this time more than any other point in history. There has never before been as much preaching of truth as there is in the world today. On every Sunday, thousands of good sermons have been preached, presenting the truth and nothing but the truth. Now, I know there's plenty of false doctrine out there. I'm not even talking about that. But there is more preaching of truth today than ever before. Why then are there still dead hearts sitting on pews? Why then are there barren lives even in apostolic churches? Why then are there dead people that they're living on the outside, but their inside is dead to the spirit? Why then are altars and prayer rooms empty? Don't these sermons that are preached still do for sinners what they did for sinners in the New Testament? What is the reason then for so much complacency in the church? Because God has not changed. His power is still the same. His word is forever settled. He still seeks to save those who are lost. The gospel is exactly today as it has been since the day of Pentecost. It's the power of God unto salvation. And so then, what is the matter? Why are so many unchanged by its power? And why do so many still struggle? Why are there many that are still without victory? I present to you today the reason: because truth in itself is not enough. I'm preaching today and using a little play on words. Of course, truth is what we need. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And ye shall know the truth. That word know, it relates to the word that is used to describe a relationship between a husband and a wife. I want to tell you, it's more than just heart knowledge that we need. There's involvement. There's intimacy. It involves the actions that go along with the knowledge. There are a lot of people today that have grown up in the church. They've grown up on apostolic pews, but they still find themselves bound. There are those today who know apostolic truth, but they still find them, they could find themselves lost in eternity. Oh, it wasn't that they didn't hear truth. Oh no, because they had pastors that preached for truth. They had pastors that stood for holiness and fought against carnality and were faithful to the gospel. And people know what it takes to be saved. They've heard it preached time and time again. But growing up knowing truth is not enough. Coming to church week after week and hearing truth is not enough. Being taught a Bible study is not enough. In fact, teaching others a Bible study is not enough in itself. It's not enough just to hear the gospel. It's not enough to just believe it. It's not enough to just know the truth. There's got to be a step of faith that goes along with it. If just knowing truth was enough, then the devil himself would be saved. Because you'd better believe he knows the truth. And I believe he believes the truth. That's why he fights so hard against it. Because he knows the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he wants to do everything he can to keep us from reaching our world with it. James wrote in chapter 2, verse 19, "Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." The devils believe. They know the truth. I believe they believe the truth. They even tremble at the power of the word of God. But that's not enough. Oh, today, how many lost souls in hell will there in eternity have their history playing over and over in their minds, remembering the times that they heard the preaching of the word of God, remembering how conviction got a hold of their heart, and maybe even they'll remember those days that they trembled under the power of the word of God. They were moved. They believed. They knew the truth, but it's not enough just to believe. Our world is filled with people who believe in Jesus. Pop stars and Hollywood actors believe in Jesus. Celebrities and politicians believe in Jesus. Oh, they wear a cross around their neck to prove it. I want to tell you, there's fish bumper stickers and "What Would Jesus Do" stickers all over the place. But that doesn't mean one is saved. There's many sinners who believe in Jesus. Some have told how the best sermons have been preached in bars and in clubs by people who believed, but they were in the very act of committing sin themselves. It's not enough just to believe. That doesn't get us to heaven. That doesn't transform our life. That doesn't save us, for truth in itself is not enough. But we must be doers of the word. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Truth in itself is not enough, but we must do the things that truth declares. It's not enough to come and hear great singing and preaching and be moved in our emotions. It's not enough just to agree with the preacher. It's not enough just to know that we need God. It's not enough just to believe. We've got to be doers of the word. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching wonderful truths to his disciples, and he tells them, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." He goes on to teach that a good tree brings forth good fruit, but an evil tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree can't produce evil fruit, and an evil tree can't produce good fruit. "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." It's by their fruit. It's by what they produce. It's by what they do. And then he immediately goes into Matthew 7, 21 through 27. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Why is truth not enough? Because we've got to be doers of the word. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's a lot of people who are deceived. There's a lot of people in our world who are deceived because they hear the truth. They even believe the truth, but they don't go do it. Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. It's not enough just to believe, but we have to do. We have to act on our belief. We have to make that step of faith and step out on what we know is true. Now, Paul wrote to the church in Rome in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 11. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He goes on in verse 13, he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's where a lot of people stop right there. Well, I just got to confess Jesus with my mouth. I just have to believe it in my heart, and I'm good to go. But then Paul goes right on from there to Romans chapter 10, verse 14. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of him that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice there's a process here. The preacher is sent. He preaches, and they hear. They hear, and then they believe, and they call on the Lord, and they obey the gospel that was preached unto them. Sometimes people want to take one scripture out of the Bible and make a doctrine out of it. But you got to remember, Paul was writing to the church in Rome. He was writing to people. They'd already been baptized in Jesus' name. They'd already repented. They'd already been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. They understood the plan of salvation. Why would Paul preach anything different than what he had experienced himself? Reading Acts chapter 9, verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. It wasn't enough for Paul just to see Jesus. It wasn't enough for him to just hear his voice. It was not enough for him to just pray and talk with the Lord. But he had to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and he had to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. It was common knowledge to the apostles in the New Testament church that being saved included repentance and baptism and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That's why when Paul and Silas were in prison and at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God, and God sent an earthquake to shake the foundations of the prison and the keeper of the prison. He was so moved that the prisoners didn't flee. And he cries out to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." And people want to stop right there. Well, that's all you need. But the disciples and the apostles in the New Testament church knew what that meant. And read on in verse 32, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." It's not enough just to believe. We have to act on what we believe. Hallelujah. When the keeper of the prison was baptized, he rejoiced with all his house. That word rejoice there, it means to exalt. It means to rejoice exceedingly. It means to be exceeding glad. Does that sound kind of like when Philip took the Ethiopian eunuch? And he baptized him. And then the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. I just believe that sometime either before Philip took him down in the water or after Philip baptized him, I believe that Ethiopian eunuch, when he came up out of that water, he was rejoicing. And the reason why he was rejoicing is because God filled him with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And people still rejoice today when they're filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, you can't help but rejoice because there's a joy of the Lord. There's a freedom in our spirit. There's a reason to rejoice. Hey, I don't know about you, but I've never seen someone filled with the Holy Ghost and it make them all sad and depressed and gloomy about life. Oh no, when somebody receives the Holy Ghost, there's a lot of rejoicing. There's a lot of smiling. They have a new countenance. In fact, you can literally see the glory of God shining upon their face. I want to tell you today, I wish that every person in this house would be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And we'd leave this place smiling. We'd leave this place rejoicing. We'd go back to work tomorrow so happy about what God is doing that people say, "Hey, what happened to you? What's different about you? Tell me about this joy." Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." If we want to enter into the kingdom of God, we've got to be born of the water, baptized in Jesus' name. We've got to be born of the Spirit, baptized with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We've got to be baptized, born of the water, and born of the Spirit. "But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe." It's more than just believing. There has to be some following signs of those who believe. "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." Oh, there's some people that say, "Oh, that Holy Ghost, that speaking in tongues, that was for a long time ago. That passed away, that ended a long, long time ago with the apostles." I want to tell you, no, it doesn't, because God hasn't changed, and there's going to be some signs that follow them that believed. They're going to cast out devils in his name, and they're going to speak with new tongues. It's not enough just to believe truth. We've got to act on truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
On the day of Pentecost, the people were so convicted by Peter's preaching. Acts 2:37 tells us, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They heard the word preached by Peter. They believed it. They were convicted. And then they wanted to know, what are we supposed to do now? Then Peter said unto them, repent. I want to tell you today, if you want to know how to be saved, if you want to know how to have the power of God in your life, you got to repent. You got to ask God to forgive you of everything you've done that was wrong. You got to say, Lord, I don't want to live that way anymore, but I want you to give me a new life. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. When you go down in baptism in that water, and that preacher says, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, there is a supernatural formula that comes into play, and it washes away, it remits your sins, it covers you with the blood of Jesus. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. How are we saved? There's some things we have to do. We repent, we're baptized, and we've got to be filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is it that gives us power? What is it that transforms us from someone that believes in the saving power of Jesus Christ to someone who is saved by the power of Jesus Christ? It's when we act on our belief. It's when we repent. It's when we're baptized in Jesus' name. It's when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. I tell you today, that's the answer that every one of us need. It's the transforming power of the Holy Ghost. It's what this church needs. It's what Springfield needs. It's what your family and my family and your neighbors and my neighbors need. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, it's power to talk right. It's power to walk right. It's power to live right. It's power to act right. And it's power to stay right. It's not just a one-time experience, but you need it every day. You need it every week. You need it every service. There ought to be an infilling of the Holy Ghost that happens every time we pray, because it helps us to have that power. People without the Holy Ghost, they're just a shell. They're lifeless. They're dead inside. Only God, only the Holy Ghost can produce the spark that quickens, that flame which kindles, that power from on high. Jesus, speaking of himself, said in Luke 24:47, and that repentance and remission of sins, that's baptism, should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. Repentance, baptism, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Power from on high. Just believing truth is not enough. Just hearing truth preached is not enough. Growing up in the church is not enough. If our mama and daddy live for God, that's not enough for us. There's got to be action on our part. Faith in action. Belief and response. Truth and operation. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, faith in itself is not enough. If it's not accompanied by action, it's dead. He said, how can you show me your faith if you don't have action to go with it? And so James declares, I'll show you my faith when I put it into action. Come on, for somebody here today, I believe you need to put your faith into action. Come on, you've had enough preaching. You've heard it time and time again. You were raised in this. You've been around this truth. You've believed this truth. But God is saying, I want you to put this truth into action. And it's about time that we shake this city with the truth that we believe, with the truth that we've acted upon. It's not just for you and me. It's for everybody. There's people that are waiting. They need to hear this truth so they can act on it as well. Come on, somebody. There are callings of God that are in this house. I want to tell you, God's anointing is on some of you, and you know it. You know that you've been called of God. It may have been years ago, but the enemy has you stuck at the point of belief. You believe you were called, but you struggle doing what you were called to do. I want to tell you today, God is calling you beyond belief to where you take that step of faith. Oh, I don't know. I'm just kind of shy. I can't talk to people. But Brother Wiggins, there's a step of faith. And you say, hey, let me tell you about what God's done for me. Oh, I don't know if I can do this. Pastor's not here and mom and daddy aren't here. But this person's sick and they need healing right now. And you take a step of faith and you say, I don't really know what else to do, but let me give you what I do got. In Jesus' name. Come on, I want to tell you, God wants to send a revival in this city, and it all can't be contained in these walls. But God wants you to be the living, walking truth in this city. He wants you to be used by His power. We've got to put our faith into action. We've got to do what we know God is calling us to do. This church is a church that believes truth. This church has stood for truth. We believe this gospel. But today God is calling us. He's calling us to an awakening. He wants us to become who we are really meant to be. Where not only do we believe in apostolic truth, but we live apostolic truth. It's one thing to hear about it. It's one thing to believe it. It's another thing. It's one thing to agree with it. But it's another thing to really walk in it, to really live it, to really be used of God in it, to see and to make apostolic truth happen all around us and all around this city. Come on, some of you today, you've got a burden. You know God's called you to be a soul winner. You know God's called you to be a Bible study teacher. You know God's called you to be a witness. He's called you to walk by faith in the last days. You know that God has something special for you. And I believe that God is calling Harvest today to put our faith into action, to really be what He's called us to be, to step forward in faith and to do it. It's not enough just to sit on an apostolic pew. It's not enough just to believe. We've got to do. We've got to do. Would you stand with me today? Teaching, I told some of you Wednesday night, maybe it was last week, I said, when I look at some of your hearts, I see an empty shell. Got the motions right on the outside. You look the part, but you're not full of the Spirit. How do I know? Because there's some signs
that follow them that believe. And I said, I could call some of you out. I could call you out right now. Because I look into your eyes and there's no joy there. There's no peace there. Not on fire with the Holy Ghost. And this is not what God means for you. You're like that butterfly in the cocoon. All its life, it's just been a caterpillar. But that wasn't what God designed it to be. Until there's some struggle there, and until there's a breaking free there, and until that butterfly spreads his wings and the wind catches those wings and it soars into the air, it just doesn't know what God has designed for it to be. And I believe there's some of us here today that if you're not having fun living for the Lord, we're doing something wrong. If there's not joy in this, if when you come to services like this today and there's people all over praising God and speaking in tongues and rejoicing and people flooding to the altar because they want to get as close to Jesus as they can, and there's children and there's young people and there's older people that are crying out to God, and if that doesn't do something for you, I want to tell you today, you're not doing something right. There's more to this. There's more to this. If you look at the disciples before Pentecost and look at them after Pentecost, it tells a different story. Before the day of Pentecost, they were all afraid. They were running scared. They'd all run away. Even Peter couldn't stand up to a servant girl at the fire, but he denied the Lord. They were scared. They were beat down. They were intimidated. But then you look at them after Pentecost. Peter all of a sudden has a boldness come upon him. And he's able to preach a hard conviction message to the same people he'd run from before. They start preaching Jesus in the temple, and they start preaching Jesus in the cities. They have boldness in standing up to the priest and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. People fall over dead from lying to the Holy Ghost. They were faced by beatings. They were faced by imprisonment. They were faced even with death. But what was the difference? It was the power of the Holy Ghost. It was the power of God's Spirit in them. Stephen faced an angry mob, but Acts 7 says he was full of the Holy Ghost. And as they stoned him to death, he was saying, "Lord, lay not this sin upon their charge." The Holy Ghost is the power. It gives us power to do God's word that He has commanded us to do. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you, you're missing out. It's the best gift. It's the most wonderful gift. It's the blessed thing. So today, I'm telling you, God's calling this church to do. We believe truth. We've stood for truth. We agree with truth. We've lived by this truth. But now it's for us to do this truth and to take it to this world and to change our city and to have revival that God means for us to have. If you're here today and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, like in the book of Acts, where they repented, they were baptized, and they began to speak with tongues as the Holy Ghost filled their heart. If you've never had that experience, I want to tell you, today's the day. Today's the day. Amen. If you're here today and you know that you need a full touch of the Holy Ghost, if it's been too long, now folks, if it's been a week since you spoke in tongues, it's been too long.
I don't know, for me, if it's been since the beginning of service, it's been too long. I want as much of it as I can get. If you're here today and you've never received this gift of the Holy Ghost, but you'd like to put your faith into action, I want you to come forward to this altar right now. And if you're here today and you know you need more of it, you know you need more of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come and join them all across this altar at the front. And we're going to believe God that He's going to endue us with power from on high. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, if you're here today and you know that God's calling is upon you, and you know that God's given you a purpose, and God's anointed you, and God's called you to do something, and you feel the calling of God telling you it's time to do more than just believe. It's time to step forward in faith. I want you to come, and we're going to believe that you're going to leave here endued with power from on high, and that we're going to go change our world through Jesus Christ. Come on, if you're tired of just sitting on a pew, if you're tired of just hearing the word and just believing it, but you want to be a doer of the word, I want you to come and pray, God, fill me with your power. Fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, young people. Come on, young people, it's not enough that mama and daddy live for the Lord. We've got to have it ourselves. We've got to have this power ourselves. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Y'all have an upbeat song about the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. All right, now just a moment. We're going to let the Lord move and He's going to work. We're going to remove every bit of doubt. How are we going to remove doubt? We're going to all repent together. Come on, because if you haven't repented, you step forward, and the enemy starts saying, oh, yeah, you want the Holy Ghost, but remember this and remember that, and yeah. We're going to get all that out of the way. Come on, does everybody here want this? I don't understand people coming to a Pentecostal church for years and years and years, and they don't really want this. This is the best thing. Hallelujah. All right. So all across this house, every single one of us, I want us to repent. We're going to ask God to forgive us. And I'm going to repent right along with you. And then we're going to pray a prayer of faith. And we're going to believe that the power of the Holy Ghost is going to fall. Lord, forgive us today. I'm sorry for every sin. I'm sorry for everything that I've done that's wrong. I pray that you'd forgive me, Lord. I pray that you'd forgive me, God. Lord, I don't want to live that way any longer. I don't want to do those things. I don't want to do those things. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive me of my sins. I pray that you'd set me free of my sins, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I repent before you right now. I pray that you cleanse me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Lord, if I haven't been baptized, I'm going to be baptized in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Lord, wash me clean. Lord, give me a new life. Make me a new creature today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord God. Oh, God, cleanse my mind. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my life, oh, God. In Jesus' name. And Lord, Lord of heaven and earth, God, we stand upon your word. We stand upon your promises. We believe it today. And Lord, we step out in faith. I pray that right now, in the name of Jesus, you will let your power, you will let your anointing fall in this house to fill every single person with the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Come on, would you lift your hands to God? Would you begin to worship Him and let His power touch you in a mighty way today? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, yes, yes, come on, that's it, by faith, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, yes, yes, Lord, let your power fall, let your power fall, I need that power, God, don't let me leave here the same way, but change me today.